This is Scott Parker, servant and apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ, ministering locally in the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex and all over the world via the internet. I want to welcome you to my podcast. Father, I just give you praise. I just give you glory, for there's none like it unto you. The great I am who sits on the sides of the north in Mount Zion, the circle of the earth. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior. We thank you, Father, for your glorious Holy Spirit, for he is the eyes of the Lord who run to and fro throughout all the earth to show himself strong on those whose heart is perfect towards you. Father, we just thank you for making our hearts right. Well, thank God I'm going to be talking about how we should not receive the grace of God in vain. You know, I'm trying to get to where I do these podcasts, get them out earlier. I've just been having so much going on. You know, this last Friday, I went to my annual IPM meeting. That's an integrated pest management. I have to take it once a year to get 5 continuing credits to keep my license and forced to spray weeds. So anyway, it's a lot going on. Do you know whatever spirit is around us or on us determines how we feel? And, you know, of course, what's going on in the heart and the Spirit of God can bring joy to you. He can give you strength, minister faith to your heart, bring you liberty. And evil spirits, when they're around you, they'll oppress you in many ways, put sickness on you, sadness, heaviness, sorrow, distress you, make you tired. You know, when there's a spirit of slumber sitting on you, it'll make you tired. And you can go lay down, go to sleep, and wake up later, and you're still tired. You know why? Because that spirit of slumber is still on you. You know, and I want the Spirit of God in me, on me, and all around me as much as I can. Because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. And where there's evil spirits, there's bondage. You know, 2 Corinthians 3:17 says, 3:17, now the Lord is that Spirit. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. See? You know why you're having trouble walking with God? Got to overcome evil spirits. Yeah, that's your problem. You know, the Spirit of God, where the Spirit of God is, there's faith and boldness, strength. When evil spirits move in, there's fear and guilt and weakness. And evil spirits will entice us to sin. God's Spirit will subdue our sins. See? So, start getting your eyes open. You can see what Spirit's ministering to you. You know, Micah 7:19 says he will turn again. He will have compassion on us. He will subdue our iniquities, and thou will cast all their sin into the depth of the sea. See? So that's why I'm always seeking to get in faith and pray and get the Spirit moving in my midst and drive the devil away from me. You know, you want to get in the right spirit? Believe the gospel. Because you believe Jesus died, was buried, rose again, and the Spirit of God will be moving and working in you. See, we can find that in Ephesians 2, about how God worketh in us both to will and to do of his good pleasure, and that's in the context of believing the gospel. Do you know what also will happen when you're believing the gospel? It'll drive the devil away from you. See, the devil is judged and cast out through the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is why I encourage everyone, get a revelation of what Jesus did on the cross. It'll drive the wrong spirit away from you, and it'll cause God's glorious Holy Spirit to work in you. Now, if you would turn to 2 Corinthians 6:14, I'm going to read out of the Christian Standard Bible. Do not be yoked together with those who do not believe. For what partnership is there between righteousness and lawlessness? And what fellowship does light have with darkness? Verse 15, what agreement does Christ with Baal or Christ with the devil? Or what does a believer have in common with an unbeliever? And what agreement does the temple of God have with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God said, I will dwell and walk in them, and I'll be their God, and they will be my people. So it tells us to come out from among those who don't believe in God. Those that don't practice faith, they don't obey the words of God. Verse 17, therefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Do not touch anything unclean, and I will welcome you. and I'll be a father to you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. See, you do this, and God's Spirit will be in your midst and be dwelling in you and working in you. A person, see, we have to separate ourselves from the people of the world. People who walk after the sin of the flesh, if they walk, you know, if you want the presence of the Spirit of God dwelling in you and around you, then come out from the midst of these people. Now, go back to the start of the chapter, verse 1, 6th chapter, 2 Corinthians. We then as workers together with him beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain. For he saith, I have heard thee in this time accepted. In the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Now, how do you receive the grace of God in vain? Let's read that same verse in the complete Jewish Bible. As God's fellow workers, we also urge you not to receive the grace of God and do nothing with it. Oh, that gives us a little bit more understanding. For he saith, at the accepted time, I've heard thee, have heard you in the day of salvation. I helped you. Okay, how do you do nothing with the grace of God? You don't pray and mix faith with the gospel. You don't speak the words of God in faith. See, go back to the last verse in the last chapter, 2 Corinthians 5:21. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. I'm going to tell you something. The miracle working power of God is in the gospel. As we get a revelation of the gospel and we believe it, and as we separate ourselves from this world, and as we go into perfection, believing this gospel, the miracle working power of God will flow in our life. Okay, for he has made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So Jesus was made sin for us, so we would be made the righteousness of God. Then the next verse says, don't receive the grace of God in vain, or don't do nothing with this grace. See, you have to keep in mind that chapter and verses were put in the Bible by Bible publishers, and sometimes they didn't always start the new chapter where they should have. So once again, Jesus went to the cross for all of us, and there was an exchange on the cross. He took our sin, gave us his righteousness, and this is the grace of God. But you have to use this grace by holding fast your confession of faith. Keep speaking what Jesus did for us and believe it, did for you. Take it personal. And then you read on after that and it says, today is the day of salvation. And Paul talked about how he, and as you continue on reading down, it says, he and his team are ministers of God and they're here to help Christians. They were here to help the Christians at Corinth. And then it tells him not to be yoked. See, then you get after, you get lower on down. I think it's the 14th verse. It says, don't be yoked together with people who don't believe and come out from among them. Now, I don't believe you don't talk to people who don't believe in God. Okay. I just believe that you don't have a close relationship with them. Okay. Don't be a holier now. Well, I can't talk to you. We're no better than them. Okay. If God's enlightened your eyes, and brought you and the Father has drawn you to his Son, well, be thankful, but you're no better than anybody else. You're being saved and God wants to save them also. Now let me say this also. Do you see the connection where we go to the last part of the 5th chapter? So Jesus died for everybody, and there's a, you know, great exchange on the cross. Then it says, don't use the grace of God that was given, and that's starting in the next chapter. And then it goes on to say, don't have a close relationship with unbeliever, or you won't be able to be the temple of God, or you won't be able to stay filled with the Spirit of God. See, he says, wherefore come out from among them, you know, for I will dwell in you and walk in you. See, verse 17 again, therefore come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord, do not touch any, do not touch any unclean thing, and I will welcome you, and I'll be a father to you, and you will be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. You know, Romans 8:14 says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they're the sons of God. So he said, I'll be a father to you. I'll lead you by my Spirit. But see, when you get spiritual understanding, you'll see there are spiritual forces working towards us, leading us into sin or wanting to lead us into sin. And of course, the Spirit of God is moving to cause us to do righteousness, do the will of the Father. And you know, I'll tell you this, I've had enough trouble with my own flesh. I don't need somebody else who isn't even trying to do what's right, because that's just more oppression. I'm talking about being around unbelievers. They're not even making an effort. It just makes it harder for me to walk uprightly. I've had times, and not everybody goes through this as much, but see, since the very beginning, I had a heart to go after God, and the devil knew it. And when I turned my life over to the Lord 40 plus years ago, we're going on 44, then, I mean, all hell broke loose against me. And I've had times where I went up and talked to people, and just sitting around talking to them, I'd start getting oppressed. And I learned real quick, get away from them. It's not because I'm better than them. I just don't spend time with them because it brings me down. You know? And like I said, we're not better than anybody else, but I choose to obey God. And if others want to be in agreement with, you know, with me and following God, then good. But if not, I'm not going to allow them to pull me down. And if they don't understand it, I can't help that. Okay, turn to 1 Corinthians 15, 33, Christian Standard Bible. Do not be deceived. Bad company corrupt good morals. You know what? Now, why would that be? Because the spirits they walk in will lead you into more sin. See? James 4:4. Let's turn there, Christian Standard Bible. You adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world is hostility towards God? So whoever wants to be a friend of the world becomes the enemy of God. Now, if you go back to verse 1, you'll see what being a friend of the world is. What is the source? Verse 1, what is the source of wars and fights among you? Don't they come from your passions at war, wage war within you? You desire and do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight and wage war. You do not have because you do not ask. Okay, this is talking about the sin in us wanting to have its own way. It's talking about walking in the old man. And when you walk in the old man with his lust and this sin in you operating through you, and when you walk this way, you're yielding to the wrong spirit. That's why God calls you an adulterer. You're a spiritual adulterer when you walk in the wrong spirit. Now, what does God do to people like this? He calls you spiritual adulterer, and then it goes on to say what he does to people like this. Verse 6. But he gives greater grace. Wherefore he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. So God's grace is extended to all of us who have walked in our own way or let sin operate through us in the form of our desires. But don't take the grace of God in vain. See, he said he giveth more grace. We have sin, war, and have its way within us. And God knows, you know, we're in a fallen state. He knows we're this way. He doesn't condemn us. He says he's going to give us more grace. Okay? He extends grace to us. But don't receive the grace of God in vain. Use that grace. How? By putting off the sin. By using it to submit to God. Let's read on. Verse 6. But he giveth greater grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Now, he's given you grace to humble yourself. He's given you grace to resist sin and to put it off. See, God's here to help our infirmities. The Spirit of God will help your infirmity. Verse 7, therefore, submit to God. Therefore, reversing back to verse 6, God's given you grace. You're struggling with sin. He gives you grace. Now, submit to God. Resist the devil and flee from you. See, you have to submit to God to be able to resist the devil. If you stay yielded to sin, you can stand there and tell the devil to go all day, and he's not going because you're yielding to him. You can't overcome the devil yielding to the devil. You overcome the devil by yielding to God. Then you resist him, stand fast in the gospel. He was judged through the death, burial, and resurrection. Then you can drive him away from you. Okay, so here God has given you grace to submit yourself to him, but you have to make an effort to submit to God, okay? See, you can't just pray, God, give me the grace to do your will. You also have to exercise your will to put to practice the word of God. Okay? You're going to learn this because if you just sit back and say, God, give me grace, you're still going to want to yield to that stuff. You're going to have to use your will. Okay? But, well, let me say this. There's a hostility between the sin in you operating through you in the Spirit of God. We can see that. Let's look at that in Galatians 5:17. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so you cannot do the things you would. See? You'll have struggle following God because of the sin in you. You have struggle getting your faith working because of the sin in you. You'll have struggle yielding to the Spirit of God because of the sin in you. But always remember this, it's the sin in the flesh that is the problem. It can be purified out. If it was just the flesh, we'd be wrestling the rest of our life. You know, because it says you cannot do the things you would. See, sometimes I read the Word of God and it says, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. In other words, it says you cannot do what you would because it's resisting the Spirit. Well, you see, you use your will and you'll be able to get into the Spirit and you'll be able to, and you keep believing, keep putting the Word of God in your heart. You get to where you can move in the Spirit a little more and more. You keep getting more of that sin purified out. You overcome it. You get to where you can stay in the Spirit more, and then you overcome it. Okay? Okay, back to James 4, verse 8. Draw near to God, and He'll draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. Now let's read that in the New Live Version. Come close to God, He'll come close to you. Wash your hands, you sinners. Cleanse up your hearts, you who want to follow the sinful ways of the world and God at the same time. You ever been there? Are you still there? Well, cleanse your hearts, you double-minded. That's what God's telling you to do. He's giving you grace. He's giving you grace to deal with your sin. And you know, I've talked about this before, about we deal with our sin in our life with our faith, not guilt. You will never overcome sin if you're guilty about it. Okay? Now, if you're real guilty, you can walk after the Spirit, and then your faith will work a little bit here and there, and then you can start overcoming it. But the more you get loosed, the more your faith will work, and the faster to pick up speed. Okay, let's read the New Living Translation. I just read the New Life Version. Let's read the New Living. Come close to God, and God will come close to you. Wash your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, for your loyalty is divided between God and the world. All right? See, that's double-minded. It's also doubt. You go back and you waver. You waver. You go to the world. You go to God. You go to the world. You go to God. Well, you got to get your heart purified. That's your problem. We all have that problem. Okay? But we don't have to stay there. Don't make an excuse for sin, all right? Or you'll never get out of it. We know that we do things that we can. I've talked many times about the slavery of sin. But if you walk out of the Spirit, you'll get set free from the slavery of sin. But if you just sit around and excuse yourself and say, well, you know, I can't overcome that. I'm just a slave to sin, you know, just bound up. Well, if you're following God, you're not going to stay bound. Okay, 1 John 2:15. Love not the world, neither things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, now look at this, this is walking in the world. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life, not of the Father, but of the world. See, being a friend of the world or loving the world is loving walking after the lust of the flesh or loving to yield to the sin that is in us and not choosing rather to put it off and yield to God's Spirit. It's not loving the world by having nice things or enjoying what you're doing, you know, because you can enjoy what you're doing walking in God's Spirit. Look at Psalm 16, or being in the presence of God. Psalm 16:11. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand are pleasures forevermore. Did you ever grow up thinking it was fun to be around God? Oh, the devil's deceived people. Oh, it's fun to be in sin. Well, yeah, there's some pleasures when you've got a wicked heart. You enjoy sin. But you get your heart purified, and you get to where you don't like sin anymore. But you get in the presence of God, and you say, man, it's glorious being in the Spirit of God. Fullness of joy. Fullness of joy. At His right hand, pleasures forevermore. Does that sound good to you? Does to me. 1 Timothy 6:17. Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. So, you know, people, they think that to come out of the world is to get away from everything from doing everything except for just doing religious things. In other words, if it's not religious, it's the world. Okay? But see, God wants people from all walks of life to be salt and light. Like like in their jobs, in their profession, God wants, I'll give you an example. God wants actors and actresses, musicians, singing artists, professional athletes, businessmen and women, government leaders, people in every walk of life to become consecrated to Him and be an influence to the people out in the world, everywhere they work and everywhere they're at, you know? Not some religious fanatic that says, I can't be around you, or we got to come out and be away from people who walk in the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life. Well, you said, well, you just read that. Yeah, well, we're talking about don't walk in fellowship with them. You know, you can talk to them. How are you ever going to witness to them if you can't say anything to them? You know? Look at Psalm 110, verse 2. The Lord shall send the rod of thy strength out of Zion. Rule thou in the midst of thine enemies. Now see, the enemies of God are those that walk in the flesh. You know, we just read that, the flesh lusts against spirit, spirit against flesh. I'm not saying these people are openly trying to be enemies of God. There's, you know, I've not met very many people that, well, I've met some people that hate God, but I haven't met people that just want to take on God and be His enemy. That's pretty foolish. You're going to perish. But, you know, we've all resisted God by walking in the lust of the flesh. And so we have to be converted so we can walk in the Spirit of God. And God wants us to walk in the Spirit of God in our jobs and be an influence for good and be a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'll tell you, as we overcome, we'll get the power of God working in us. And then we'll rule out in the world. And, you know, then the transgressors, let them go hide. You know, they're the ones that should be hiding. You know, it used to be the homosexuals were in the closet. Why? Because they were ashamed and they knew how wrong they were. And then society got more and more perverted and they didn't want to believe they were wrong because they wanted to do what they wanted to do. And so they came out of the closet. Now they want to tell everybody else they're wrong. You know? And we've seen that, a perversion going on in our society. Anyway, turn to Matthew 5:15. Neither do men light a candle, put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and to give light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works, glorify your Father which is in heaven. You know, but let me give you a piece of advice. You need to get a revelation of the gospel and believe the gospel and overcome the devil at least to some degree before you run around talking about God to unbelievers very much, especially to those who are deep in sin, because the spirit in them will try to overpower you and make a fool out of you. And they just won't even, you won't even be able to get to them. You try to talk to them, they can't hear what you're saying because the spirit's got them so bound. So you got to be led by the spirit. You got to be overcoming the devil. You know, after Jesus overcame the devil and got out of the wilderness, it says from that time forth, he began to say, repent and believe the gospel. Okay? So you got to overcome some before you start running around talking about God. You know, there's some people, they receive the Lord and they've been told they're converted. Well, they just started to be converted and they run around preaching to everybody and they probably need to be still for a while. Well, they do need to be still for a while. Follow the Bible's example and start overcoming their own sin. Start getting corrected. Get the beam out of their own eye before they say anything about anybody else and overcome the devil some. And get the love of God in their heart, and then they go out and help other people. Okay, let's turn to James 4 again, and we'll read verse 8 in the New Living Translation. Again, come close to God, and God will come close to you. Wash your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, for your loyalty is divided between God and the world. Be miserable and mourn and weep, and let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourself before the Lord, and He will exalt you. Okay, how do you humble yourself to God in this context? Well, you take the grace that God's ministered to you, put off the sin of the flesh and submit to God, and then resist the devil. All right? That's humbling yourself. But remember, those lusts, they're going to be warring in you to have their way. So you have to use your will to practice the Word of God. And then as you do, you'll experience the grace of God working with you as you use your will. Let's go ahead and take a break and put a song here. Let's play Peace in the Valley by Pamela Pontiel.
Wow. Well, I'm tired and so weary, but I must go along till the Lord comes and calls me away. Oh, yes. Well, the morning so bright, and the lamp is alight, and the night is as black as the sea. Oh, yes. There will be peace in the valley for me someday. There will be peace in the valley for me. Oh, Lord, I pray there be no sadness, no sorrow, no trouble. Trouble I see. There will be peace in the valley for me. Well, the bear will be gentle, and the wolves will be tame, and the lion shall lay down by the lamb. Oh, yes. And the beast from the wild shall be led by a child, and I'll be changed from this creature that I am. Oh, yes. No sadness, no sorrow, oh my Lord, no trouble I see. There will be peace in the valley for me, for me.
You know, I came across this post on Facebook earlier this week about A.A. Allen. And this post talked about how God ministered to A.A. Allen the price that you had to pay to get the power of God working in you and through you. And A.A. Allen, you know, had a real hunger for God. And he didn't like where he was spiritually. He wanted the power of God. And, you know, that's where I'm at. I've experienced power of God a little bit. I've ministered a little bit, but I want to walk in the miracle working power like Jesus did, and it is available to every one of us. And so as I was reading about paying the price that A.A. Allen wrote, it really began to stir in my soul and in my spirit. And you know, as I read this, I knew it was right. And I knew what he was saying was sound teaching. I was really impressed by this man because he knew something about God and he had the power of God in him. He wasn't condemning, and he talked about, you know, giving your whole life to God and living for Christ's sake in the gospel and being dedicated to the purpose of God. And God ministered to him 13 things that he needed to do to get the power of God working him. And I'm going through this right now. And there is a price to pay in laying down your life. But let me tell you something. God's miracle working power is glorious. It's phenomenal. And I've experienced it. I'm telling you. Not just read about it. But let me tell you something. We don't just lay down our life or let me encourage you with this. We don't lay down our life and just do nothing. We lay down our life and then we can take up the resurrection life of Jesus. See, but we have to die to the desires of the flesh, that sin in us. And then we can get to walk in God's Spirit and in His power. And you know, one of the things that A. Allen wrote about here is we need to let God show us our pet sins that we don't want to let go of because it gives place to the devil. And he said it robs us of the power of God to help others. And I thought, Lord, put your finger on my pet sins. There's some things I can look at and I'm pretty sure. Well, I've been trying to deal with what's the best way to work with it, how to overcome some of these things. Spending too much time reading posts on Facebook and just generally doing my own thing. And let me tell you something. All things are lawful unto you. I'm not going to sit here and tell you you can't do this or you can't do that. I'm just telling you that whatever you allow in life to keep you back from praying and seeking God will rob you of the power of God and keep you from ever getting into the move of the Spirit and the power of God. And that power, God's miracle working power, is available to every believer. And it'll work in us as we go unto perfection, as we die to the flesh. But see, we need to believe this. We need to believe we can go unto perfection. You know, Matthew 5:48, and A. Allen was ministering a lot of things about perfection. And oh, I was soaking it up. I'm going to go back and read this over and over and over. But one of the scriptures he quoted was Matthew 5:48. He said, "Be ye therefore perfect, even," and these are the words of Jesus, "even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect." And let me tell you something. A.A. Allen had tremendous miracles in his ministry. One of them is where a woman brought her son to one of his meetings. And this boy was, he was 4 years old at the time. And this child was born with 26 incurable diseases. He was blind. His tongue stuck out of his mouth and lay on his chin. He had no feet. He had no male organs. His arms and his legs were twisted. And I won't go into all the details, but anyway, A.A. Allen prayed for him and his tongue snapped back in his mouth. God formed two new eyes. And you know, R.W. Schambach, who passed away in 2012, he told this testimony. He was standing close to A.A. Allen when he prayed for this little boy. And he is an eyewitness as he watched God form new eyes in this little boy and watch God straighten out his arms and his legs. And he watched God form 2 feet on this boy. He just had clubs. I mean, he was right there. He describes it. He describes it how God formed his feet kind of like Play-Doh. And then all these other organs, and they go into greater detail, but you know, this little boy was born blind and he had never seen his mother. And after God healed him, he looked up at his mother and said, "Mama," and ran to her and jumped in her arms. And then after that, power of God broke out all over that meeting and everybody in the meeting got healed. Many stood up and started walking that were paralyzed in wheelchairs, and many other miracles broke forth. And, you know, I believe R.W. Schambach is an honest man, and he told this testimony, and you can find it on YouTube. Just, you know, go to the search bar and type in A.A. Allen, Healing of a Boy with 26 Diseases by R.W. Schambach. And folks, the power of God is real. You know, I'll I'm going to tell you some of my experiences. I went to a meeting back in the early 80s. I think it was this couple called the Happy Hunters. And one of their meetings, and they were praying for a lady who had one leg about 2 inches short of the other. And, you know, I was sitting just a few feet away, and this lady was sitting in a chair and had both legs set up side by side. They put her legs up on a chair, and I could see one leg was shorter than another. And as they prayed, one leg grew out the length of the other leg. I saw it with my own eyes. And you know, she did not twist her hips or anything. You know, she didn't move her legs from side to side to make her other leg equal. Her leg just grew out. It was miraculous. And I'll tell you another experience. Back in the early 80s, I was commanding a spirit of whoredoms to come out of me, and nothing happened. And later I went to bed, and during the night, the power of God came on me, grabbed my body and straightened me out, and I felt the spirit come out of me. And I didn't feel any hands grab me. It was just power that grabbed a hold of me. I was under the supernatural power of Almighty God. And it didn't hurt at all. It was tremendous miracle working power. And when this happens, you know there's a God. You're in the power of the Almighty God. One time, I was sleeping, and there were two beings that stood beside my bed, and they were ministering to me. Power was emanating from them and going into me. And I believe these were angels of God. Another situation was back in the 80s, I was attending, back when I was attending charismatic churches, and they taught that, you know, after a person received the Lord, they were a new creature in Christ, and old things passed away. This is what all the charismatics were teaching, and all things became new. And this happened when you receive the Lord, and that you had a new heart. And yet, so they were teaching this over and over, and yet I had a rebellious heart. I was rebellious. And, you know, I was afraid, but I just went to God and I said, God, what's wrong with me? And right after that, God began to operate the gift of discerning spirits in me. And now this is one of the nine gifts of the Spirit listed in 1 Corinthians 12. And when I would look up at people's eyes, I could see what looked like a little dot or something inside people's eyes, and it was looking out at me. And as I looked at it, it would move, and I could discern it was evil spirits looking out of their eyes. And everybody I looked at looked unclean. And you know, this is a describing Ephesians 2 about the spirit that worketh in the children of disobedience. We've all been there. In Isaiah 64, 6, where everybody is unclean. See, because what God was showing me was how we were all bound with spirits and we were all full of sin. And see, God was answering my question. I asked, what's wrong with me? And he showed me everybody was bound with evil spirits, sin in the sin nature in them. And you know, I'd already received the Lord Jesus Christ. I was baptized in the Spirit. I spoke in other tongues, yet I had any evil spirit of maybe more than one, and I still had sin in me. Okay? Now, if this upsets you, if I was you, I would just go to God and ask for grace to accept what the Word of God teaches. You know, if you think this is hard, you need to toughen up, because we're headed into the Great Tribulation. And if you've been taught we're not going through it, I'm telling you, you've been lied to, because it's clear that the Lord's going to come and the dead in Christ can be caught up at the trump of God. And it says it's going to be the last trump. And all you have to do is go look in the book of Revelation and see when the last trumpet sounds. And that's at the end of the tribulation. And that's when the Lord's going to descend from heaven with the voice of the archangel, with a shout and the voice of the archangel. And the dead in Christ are going to be raised up. And then we which are alive and remain are going to be caught up to meet the Lord. And you can see that in Matthew 24 about the Lord's coming after the great tribulation. He's going to send his angels to pick us up, to catch us all up from one end of heaven to the other. That is the rapture. And that's at the end of the tribulation. So they took in a few scriptures that are not even clear, tried to say, tell us the Lord's coming to get us and before the tribulation. It's not even clear what they're saying, and it's certainly not scriptural. But it's very clear that he's coming after the tribulation. Okay. Now, I could also see from the scripture, you know, not only did God show me about demons and everybody, and this was also in Christians. I saw this. I saw evil spirits in Christians and in sin. But I also got my eyes open, and I could see from scripture that we didn't become a new creature in Christ just by receiving the Lord. We don't even begin to get rid of the old man until we're baptized in water. The start of the new birth to get rid of evil spirits. If we could just get born again and get rid of evil spirits, then we wouldn't need to cast them out like Jesus said. We would just need to get people to receive the Lord. And if just receiving the Lord would get rid of devils, then we'd have to conclude Jesus didn't know what he's talking about when he said, go cast them out. We say, well, Lord, we can just get them born again. But Jesus did know what he was saying. Do you hear that? Jesus did know what he was saying. The people that said, they say, oh, you know, this one minister said, oh, a Christian have a demon. Phooey. That was one of the leading charismatic leaders. He said that. Well, I won't say his name, but Ephesians 2 says that the spirit was in the children of disobedience and they need to be cast out, not just get born again and they leave. They need to be cast out. Okay. Also, here's another miracle. I had one time I was out at work and I was questioning whether I was saved. Well, it was a spiritual experience. I guess you could call it a miracle. And I was questioning whether I was saved and I kept saying, Jesus, my Lord, he was raised from the dead. Because I read that if you did that, you believe Jesus, if you confess him, Lord, and believe he's raised from the dead, you're saved. And I kept saying that. And I finally said, I believe that. And therefore, I'm saved. And, you know, I went up to the break room and a person stuck their head through the door. They didn't open the door, but they just stuck their head through the door, smiled at me and went away. I couldn't see them, but I know this happened. Another time at work, it's the same place. It wasn't very far from there either. I was standing in the hallway close to the entrance to the bean dip production area. That's back when I worked for Frito-Lay. And the Lord came and he stood above me and the power of God overshadowed me. It was strong. It was strong. It was a tremendous manifestation or tremendous visitation of the Lord. But I knew the Lord Almighty was standing above me and his power overshadowed me. I don't know the purpose of this visitation, but I know I was going through many hard days back then. You know, the only thing I can conclude is the Lord was trying to say, I'm with you. Because he didn't speak to me at that time or, you know, concerning that. You know, in the early 80s, I was sleeping one night. Here's another manifestation of the power of God. And the power of God was working in my heart for hours. And the Spirit revealed to me Isaiah the prophet, then Christ the prophet. And then power of God was working in me and it was revealed by the Spirit. I've called you as a prophet. Okay. Now, I don't believe every spiritual experience because the devil will come as an angel of light and try to make you think he is God talking to you. Or give you a spiritual experience and try to make you believe it's God. So, you know, it says we have a more sure word of prophecy, and that's the word of God, than spiritual manifestation. And that was even talking about when God the Father came and visited Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration. And the Apostle John, James, John, and Peter. He came and they were with Jesus in the Mount of Transfiguration. God the Father spoke out of a cloud and Peter went on to say, we have a more sure word of prophecy than that. And that was God Almighty visiting him. And he said, it's the word of God. So I don't believe every spiritual experience and I encourage you always try the Spirit. Always look to the word of God. See if the word of God says it's there. Because the devil will try to deceive you. But you see, you know what? God ministered that to me about being a prophet. And then God revealed to me the revelation of the foundations, which is given to the prophet's ministry. And he ministered to me, the foundation, but that was the apostles' ministry. But I already knew and a prophet becomes an apostle when he's sent out. But anyway, that was confirmation to me of my calling because of getting that revelation. See? Paul talked about the revelation. It was not given. It was only given to the apostle, prophet's ministry. I forgot where that is. Anyway, that's why I believe that was God ministering to me about my call as a prophet. Okay, I'll tell you this. I've had many other manifestations of the Spirit of God, and I know God's power is real, and there is a renewed desire in me to go after walking in the miracle-working power of God. And I would consider my ministry a failure if I don't walk in the power of God much better than I have up to this time. So I'm going after it. You know, in the parable of the sower, it said some will only bear 30-fold, some 60-fold, and some 100-fold. Now that's talking about the nature of God. And And I'm sure some will walk in more of the power of God than others. But we need to get it in our heart. We can go into perfection. We can overcome the devil in the wilderness and walk in the power of God like Jesus did. Amen. So I hope that ministered to you. I hope that put a hunger in your heart. Folks, this is worth going after. And you can get it. Okay? You can get it. You can get it working in you. Take it one step at a time. You know, it says, exhort one another daily while it is today, lest you be hardened to the deceitfulness of sin. Sin in you will harden your heart, but you don't have to let it. But we need to exhort one another. Keep believing. Keep putting it off. Keep holding fast the gospel. Keep walking after the Spirit and you'll overcome it. You know, one of the things that A.A. Allen said and that really ministered to me, he said, don't excuse sin. Okay? Don't excuse sin. Believe you can overcome it. He said that he heard many ministers that would say, well, you know, not everybody can be perfect. You know, we just have sin. You know, we can't overcome it all. We just, you know, we're under grace. And he said, you know what? I noticed ministers like that didn't walk in the power. Okay? I don't say you have to be perfect, but, and you know, even Paul said he hadn't attained on to perfection, but he was going on to perfection. And the Word of God clearly says, let us go on to perfection. That's after we get the foundation. That's the sixth chapter of Hebrews. The Word of God says, be ye perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. All through the Scriptures, it talks about going on to perfection. That should be the desire of every Christian. And yes, you pay a price. Yes, there's some suffering with this. Yes, you don't get to enjoy everything you did in the flesh. But let me tell you something. The more you walk with God, the less you'll enjoy the flesh. And you'll just sit there and you go back and you try to enjoy the flesh and you go, this is not satisfying. This is no fun. The power of God will satisfy you. The presence of God, there's fullness of joy. There is a place in the Spirit that I want to get and you should want to get. And a power, we can walk in the miracle working power. Jesus said, the works I do shall ye do and greater. He would have never said that if we couldn't do it. You know, A.A. Allen went into how Jesus became a man and he did all these miracles as a man. That is exactly what the Word of God teaches. And, you know, he talked about how Jesus was God Almighty and now he's with the Father and moving in the power of God in the Godhead. But when he was in the earth, he did this as a man who believed God. And he got it right. He got it right. And so there's many other things I could say. I'm greatly encouraged by this book. I hope it encourages you. I want to tell you something. Go after this, folks. Go after the power of God. It tells us, don't seek after, you know, it says the Gentiles seek after food and clothing. He said, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Those are the two things you have to seek in the world. The kingdom of God is power and his righteousness is his nature. You know, there's two things that have greatly encouraged me. One of them was that book, Heinz Field on High Places, and that was talking about going after the nature of God, being a partaker of the nature of God, and this, what A.A. Allen talked about, getting the miracle working power of God working in you. So I'm greatly encouraged, and I encourage you to do this. This is what God wants for you. He wants you to go after the power of God, to get that power working in you, and to get his nature. And God said it's his good pleasure to give you the kingdom. It's God's good pleasure to work his miracle working power in you. But to get it, you're going to have to be consecrated unto God. You're going to have to lay down the flesh. You're going to have to get rid of your pet sins. You're going to have to get rid of places that you give place to the devil so you can walk in God's Spirit. You see, it says those that do such things, talking about different sins and iniquity, shall not inherit the kingdom of God. That's what's keeping back the power of God from working in you. Your sins, my sins, but we can overcome them. And I just read to you in James 4, God wants you to overcome them. He'll give you grace to overcome them. But you also have to use your will. It's you're going to learn this. You can't just sit back and say, well, I'm waiting for God to pour out grace on me. You don't ever wait on God. You don't wait on God. He's waiting on you to get after believing him. He's waiting on you to pray and to believe. His grace will be there, but you may not experience it. But you start using your will to put off the old man. You use your will to believe the gospel, and that grace will kick in because it's there. All right? So God's given us grace. So go after it. And don't let anything discourage you and let you turn you back. Don't let oppression stop you. Don't let discouragement stop you. Don't let anything stop you from going after the miracle working power of God. Don't stop till you get it. And, you know, those of you out there that have tasted the Lord, you know how good it is. Keep going. Go for more power and more power. God will let you walk and wants you to walk like his son Jesus walked. Jesus got out of the wilderness. He is our example. The works he did shall ye do and greater works. And he that saith he abideth in Jesus ought to walk as he walked. It's all through the Bible. The apostles walked this way. Others walked this way. Okay? So it's available to you. So go after it. Seek after it. Hunger and thirst after righteousness. Hunger and thirst to get the power of God in greater measure in your life. All right? That's all I've got for this podcast. If there's anyone out there that's not been saved, you've not been born again, come to the Lord right now. Call out to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Say this prayer. Repeat after me. Lord Jesus, I just call upon your name. Your word says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Your word says, whoever will receive you, you give them authority to be born of you. And so I receive you, Jesus. Say that prayer with me. Mean it. Mean it with your heart. Can't be flippant about this. If you want the Lord, you got to mean it. You got to want him. Say, Lord Jesus, I want you. Come into my heart. I receive you. I receive you right now. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. If you've said that prayer, the Spirit of Christ has entered into you and you're ready to get started walking with the Lord. Okay? Encourage you to tune back into my podcast and I'll teach you the ways of God. As much as in me, I will preach the gospel to you. Okay? Everybody have a great night. God bless.
Hallelujah. I shall not be moved. Anchored in Jehovah. I shall not be moved. Just like a tree that's planted by the water.